Todd Singleton is a very interesting guy. If you ever get a chance to meet him in person and talk to him off air, maybe even more compelling. Certainly on air, he is very compelling. We're very excited to have him. Ace of Coins is his website. He is an advocate for entrepreneurs and business owners. He helps his clients avoid fraud trap built into the banking system, among many other things. He's had heroic efforts to put an abrupt end to arbitration racket banks were using on consumers. He is an advocate for you. He's an advocate for law. And he's our friend on the Power Hour. Welcome, John Singleton. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Wow, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Well, let's, you know, what's the biggest thing on your plate right now? What's the thing that, you know, gets you up in the morning and gets your pulse moving?
Well, it's people having problems with the ridiculous mask requirements, mask wearing throughout society. And so where I get involved in it has to do with property rights. And so we have lots of conversations about that. That topic, and it even seems like cryptos, everyone knows cryptographic currency is going to do well, so that's kind of a given. But they want to talk about the problem they had going to the grocery store for wearing a mask and all this sort of thing.
Well, let's talk about some of those conversations. What does that look like? What do some of those conversations lead to?
Well, people just have confrontations, you know, with the personnel at the stores. And so my interest has always been risk management. And so I understand a lot about property rights, and I'm not a doctor or anything, but I understand that no one can impose a medical intervention on you, as a condition for shopping. And then I understand what the remedies would be if that were to happen. You know, there are certain rules and laws that are in your favor, but a lot of people they're not aware of those things. And so, like, even with yesterday, I had a really great discussion with Peggy Hall on YouTube, and we were discussing different remedies, like, for example, grocery stores such as Sprouts not allowing people or not providing services for people who, you know, can't or don't want to wear a mask, things like that. So there are certain steps that people can take.
Okay, let's go down that road. Okay, I go to Sprouts. You know, maybe I have the pleural C or whatever. I can't wear a mask. I go to Sprouts and Sprouts doesn't want to let me in and treats me very rude. Okay. How should I react in this situation?
Well, when it pertains to Sprouts right now, Sprouts will not provide services to people who don't go along with their demonic ritual. So in that case, I'm actually doing a case right now, an actual case in court where we can get that resolved. I think we can do that for the state of Florida. It probably would work for the whole country. There is a process, though, and it works for all the other stores, from my experience anyways, where if you just have a simple conversation, usually with a store manager or the person at the front entranceway, it's enough to get them to leave you alone.
All right, let's role play. Let's role play for people. Excuse me. Let's role play so we can our audience can hear this. Okay, I'm the manager. Yes, sir. How may I help you? I see that you don't want to wear a mask. It is our store policy that people wear masks when they come in.
Okay, and then when I hear that, I say no thanks, and I continue walking. That's typically what I do, and they used to give me more of a hard time. They used to give other people more of a hard time. So if I have to get into a conversation with them, I ask them, well, have you had a chance to review my medical records? Have you conducted a medical examination? Are you aware what the consequences would be if I were to wear a mask in your store? If I
restrict excuse me, the state has already mandated this. The governor's mandated this. We're just following the edicts of the governor. So, not sure what you're talking about. We are following the law by doing this.
Right. And that's a lot of comments I receive back from store employees. We are following the law. And I say, okay, which law is that? And then I don't say anything. I just wait.
The governor mandate. I'm following the governor's mandate.
Right. So then I ask, okay, so what law is that?
Well, it's the governor's executive order. This is what they're requiring for all business. This is what the governor's in the health department. The health department has required this for all businesses.
Right. And which law is that?
The health department has made a emergency declaration. This is under the emergency powers.
Right. So then what I say is, okay, so if you think I'm breaking the law, then call the police now. In the meantime, I have to finish my shopping. And I do that. Well, and I just go do my shopping.
Okay.
That's the end of it.
I mean, obviously some places you see them on YouTube, they are calling the police or they're all doing it. You know, some of these states, they're very aggressive.
Okay. Yes, some states are. Right. I happen to be in a state where I'm not having those problems. We've had confrontations. I have had the police call on me and it's been very friendly the whole time. We didn't disrupt anything.
Okay. How's it go?
Well, okay. give an example. A client called me. He just happened to be in my area, and he was having a problem with Sprout. So this is one of those where we didn't get to buy anything. All the other stores, we get to do our service. We get our services and no problem. But in this case, we just went through the whole process of being denied service at the cash register. We couldn't buy our things. And the manager had already called the police. So when the police arrived, we were actually standing outside in the parking lot talking, and there were some other customers that we were talking with discussing the same issue, criticizing the whole issue, right? And the police officer came over and said, "Hey, are you the guys that the manager called me for?" And we said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, well, you guys have a nice day." You know, and that's here.
Okay.
That's a lot of times in Florida, so.
I hate to be devil's advocate, but, John, I mean, that's not how a lot of these conversations are going. Would it be better if the people called the police? You want to call the police? Okay, I'll call them right now. Here, let's call them right now.
And yeah, say, there are different ways, right?
Go ahead.
If you call the police as the customer, you have a bit of an advantage, but here's what the police are being told, that they're being told that, and this is wrong. It's incorrect. The police are being told that a store owner can make whatever policies it wants, and those you have to abide by. Well, that's not true, because the store policies have to be legal.
Right.
For example,
they can't refuse to serve black people, or, you know, they can't be 1940 again.
Yeah, or people in wheelchairs.
Right.
And what about the person who, last time he wore a mask, he collapsed on the floor in an unconscious state and was in the hospital? You don't know who that guy is. So how can you require a medical intervention on somebody you've never examined and you're not even competent to do that? But the police are saying their police only job is to make sure there's no disruption. You're not disturbing the peace. So if you get to a point where the police are being called or you're calling the police, you probably shouldn't be there. You should have already left the property. There's no real need to do that. Like, we had already left the property at Sprouts when this happened, and, you know, and the police officer was happy, and he's like, "Great, guys, have a nice day." You know, and if I were in the store, and when he showed up, let's say he was already on site, and the manager said, "Hey, would you come over here and, you know, intervene?" He would have said, "The store manager asked you to leave, and you should leave." Now, that's not trespassing. I know this is a popular issue. It's not trespassing to go to a store and refuse to wear a mask and then continue shopping. That is not trespass. Because when you go into a store that's open to the public, you have an irrevocable license to be there unless there's a violation. And a violation would be as if you're disrupting the business.
Okay? Well, their argument is, their argument is, you are disrupting the businesses and you are risking the safety of everybody here, and you are not following the health department's guidelines. Therefore, you are disrupting our business.
Yeah, and that's not true. But you don't want to argue with the police. You want to just leave, because it doesn't make sense to do that. So just leave. And then, so your remedy is not to argue with people at the store. You should never really be arguing with them. But, when you leave in that situation, your remedy really is to sue them. And it's not even filing a lawsuit, because a lot of these things can be resolved with a letter to the chief counsel. You can actually just write a letter. And this is a lot of the work that I've been doing lately, is helping people write these letters to express what the issue is. And then the chief counsel looks at it and says, "Well, gosh, he's right. We are violating our own policies. And what's, if I don't respond in a favorable way that makes sense, he's just going to sue us. And even if we win, it's going to cost us $10,000. And how many guys are going to do that every month?" So the chief counsel is going to call up the store manager and say, "Look, if people don't have a mask or don't want to wear one, you know, you can ask them to wear a mask, but don't harass them. Don't block them from coming in the store. That's illegal. You know, don't refuse services, because you might get sued, and then we're going to spend $10,000 to get nowhere." So that's what's happening. It's all about.
Let me digress a little bit. It's not really, but get off the subject, and then I'll get back to that. Walmart, at one point, they said, "Okay, on this date, it is now going to, you're going to have to wear a mask to come in our store. It's policy nationwide, and that's it. You're not getting in without a mask." And then it was, they had signs up. They had a lady there checking in. Where our Walmart, they usually put a young woman. I guess maybe they think that's more sympathetic, because I went to like 4 Walmarts and it was always a young woman. Okay. So maybe that was a strategy. I don't know. But then about a week later, they changed their policy and they didn't force you anymore. They were just, the sign was there and they just said, "Here, would you like a mask?" "No, thank
that's
you."
Right.
And just went along. And I just went in. I've never worn a mask. I went in and said, "I have an exemption, a medical exemption." And they said, "Okay," even in that first week. My question to you is, what changed in Walmart in a week to make them, change how aggressive they were on this?
I believe it's people like myself and others that are writing letters, and they're sending the right statements to the right people at the company. Like, I would write a letter to the chief counsel and the local store manager, and I would say, guys, you cannot be there's no, you're not under a public duty to protect the public. You have no duty to protect the public. You're not insured for that. You can't be giving medical interventions to people. You're not insured to give medical advice to your patrons. You're there to sell products and services to people. Mm-hmm. So I said these things to the chief counsel, not to the store manager, but I got a copy to the store manager. So I think what happened is maybe enough people sent letters like that to where they just said, look, it's not going to be worth it for us. We're going to have to deal with 1,000 ADA lawsuits, right? Or ADA complaints.
Well, the first thing I think when I think about that, that presumes that these lawyers weren't advising him on this policy to begin with. So there's,
correct.
I mean, these lawyers had to know that before they started that. I'm under the impression, you know, maybe it's more influence of what you're saying than I thought, but I'm also under the impression, you know, like the video about the Starbucks customer who knocked the Starbucks employee out. Says, I'm not wearing a mask and you can't make me, and he literally knocked them out. Walmart, you have all these rednecks out there. I'm not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. You can go to hell, you know, right. And starting a real scene. So maybe between the both of them, I'm under illusion, but how much of the scene causers, the violent people at the Walmart, where Walmart finally just said, fine, how much did that affect it?
That is a big factor. A big factor is the potential for confrontations. And yes, I believe that, see, the risk manager, which is the chief counsel for the organization for Walmart in Arkansas, for example, that chief counsel doesn't get involved in these policymaking. But when there's a substantial risk to the company's money, that's when that person's going to come in and say, guys, we've got to have a meeting. Look, we can't be provoking confrontations, and I'm getting these letters from people and they make a lot of sense. We're not even insured for doing these things. Let's just do this following, let's change it this way. And I think that's what happened when they realized that was going to be a big risk as far as in terms of money.
Well, it's bottom line is money for all this, isn't it? Mostly.
Yeah. It is. I mean, absolutely.
I mean, really, let's get down to brass tacks. Maybe Sprouts. Why is Sprouts so adamant? They're hell bent on this. I mean, there's been some very terrible YouTube incidences from that. Why are they like this?
I think there's a force, let's call it a money interest behind everything, behind all the retail operations, and they're testing out the reactions that they're going to witness around the country and around the world. I think different countries are doing certain things, like Australia is way different than Florida, okay, and how that government's operating over there. I think the counties in Florida are different than each other, and I think that's true. Now, California seems to be more uniform. New York seems to be more uniform. But yeah, it's a test. And I think maybe Sprouts was chosen to be the bad boy.
So whoever is behind them on Wall Street, so on a certain level, obviously these corporations certainly are moving in unison, whether they're acting in concert, at the highest levels, that's can be debated. I think they are on some level. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think, but obviously they're acting in some sort of concert with their policies here. Is this a matter of are these corporations getting together and saying, okay, this is a test of our corporatocracy and of how far we can go with the people? I mean, is that what's going on in these board meetings at the highest level?
They think they're individually making their own decisions, but they are being influenced by money, and it's not at that corporate level. It's beyond that. It's the money interest, and I'll describe what I mean by that. I've been reading the financial statements and the plans for the money interest behind what we're watching, which is called COVID-19, the fake pandemic. Okay, there's money interest, and this involves the World Health Organization and the World Bank Group, and they formed a partnership called the Global Pandemic Monitoring Board. The Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. Okay. They're operating under a different name, so people don't recognize it's the World Bank. And I read their statements, and their statements are, they have funding for this operation. COVID-19 is a trade name. It's a business operation. It's a franchise. It's not a virus. And it's funded out until March 31st, 2025. So that money is being pushed. Yeah, they're pushing this money and getting governments and getting companies to do certain things. And so that's what you're seeing. We're even seeing right now nonprofit organizations paying restaurants to enforce these policies.
What in the world am I supposed to think about this? I mean.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this is a tyrannical. Yeah. I mean, the British coming in our streets could not be any more forceful. It cannot be any more dangerous here.
We're doing it to ourselves. We're being tricked into doing it to ourselves. And it's because people are afraid. They believe. You got to understand two concepts. First of all, viruses are not contagious. They are not transmitted between people. They're not contagious pathogens.
I've heard that by several people that are very, I respect very much, have told me as much as they. Maybe go into that a little bit, explain that.
Well, physicians have explained this to me. Also, Dr. Vernon Coleman in UK, if you watch his work, you watch his videos on YouTube, Dr. Vernon Coleman, you'll learn from there. There's some other physicians like Andy Kaufman, and there's many of them out there. But viruses are made by your body. We've got like 18 coronaviruses in our body. Those viruses keep us alive. They get rid of garbage in our bodies. They clean us out. They make us healthy. It's what infects us is bacteria. And when you're wearing a mask all day, you're going to get pleurisy. You're going to get Legionnaire's disease. You're going to get staphylococcus. You're going to get those infections because it's bacterial. Okay. And COVID-19, like I said, is not a virus. Viruses, in order for them to exist, have to be isolated in a scientific process. COVID-19 has never been isolated. It does not exist. There is no test for it. The RT-PCR is not even a test for a virus. Even the person who invented it said it wasn't designed for viruses. On and on and on. There is no test. So, by the way, guys, don't get tested because you're going to get sucked into the contact tracing surveillance program. Okay.
Hey, let me tell you a story I had in small town Idaho. This is small town Idaho at a pizza restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I've told this several times. The people who don't think this is real or they don't think this is hitting, this is small town Idaho. Mm-hmm. Went to order pizza is one of the places you order it and then they cook it in a pizza oven. Very cool place. But anyway, the lady's taking my order. We're sitting there waiting and she says, can I have your phone number? And I'm thinking, phone number. I'm right here. When you're done with the pizza, look, we'll be right over here at this table. Just bring it here or holler. I'll come get it if that's too much for you. Why do you need my phone number? Out of her mouth, she said, well, we don't want it. The CDC wants it so we can keep track of everybody.
Right. And don't do that. Right.
Oh, I didn't. Believe me.
Good.
What I told her was, not only am I not giving you my phone number, I'm paying with cash now. You're making me very uncomfortable. That's what I told her.
Good for you. Yeah, because they'll turn it into the CDC so you can be connected with the idiot who did get tested. That's exactly what they're doing.
Right. And then the false negative. And then, you know, and we've already seen this in some states, Spain, other places. Oh, you were at the XYZ pizza and he tested positive. So now you got to be quarantined. And oh, you have children that weren't there. Oh, well, we got to take your children from you for safety. That's how this goes.
So we don't even bring our phones anymore in the store. I leave mine at home. And I keep it even in airplane mode. You're still going to be under surveillance. You'll still be connected to other people. So try to keep your phone away from people. Use a Faraday cage, a Faraday cage envelope, silent pocket. Yeah.
We should get some of those at the Power Mall. I think it's time we got some of those so people can buy those. That's a great idea.
They'll do co-branding, I think. So definitely you want to do that.
Let's go back to you. Mm-hmm. Where we got off track, where we diverged. So you help people write these letters so they can get a hold of you at aceofcoins.com and you can kind of help people do this, write letters and things.
Right. What I'm starting to do is, I do those letters. I help people with different issues relating to that, like getting fired or whatever the deal is. I try to smooth that out or articulate it. What I'm finding now is that there are small businesses that are reopening. I'm showing them how to reopen without complying with all this garbage. Because there's nothing to comply with because there's no law. There's no legal duty to do these things. So I'm working with there's a dentist's office, an art studio, a school. There's a couple of bars.
Is this in Florida? Is this all in Florida or across the nation?
Across the nation. I got a couple here in Florida, but it's across the nation. Whoever calls me, I tell them how to change their policy, how to operate their business. Even the studio we go to, my sons and I, we go to judo over here. And this guy, he understands. And so I show him how to do this.
So. All right, now the $64,000 question, let me tell you about my aunt. My aunt works in the health field. She works, she goes to nursing homes sometimes, but it's, elder care, will she go to their homes, or she may go to a nursing home to visit people or whatever. It's across the board. So the people who employ her kind of get her jobs or some of her jobs. They're hearing whisper from the other nurses talking and saying that the state may mandate you have to have this COVID vaccine when it becomes available to work. Okay. And that freaks my aunt out, of course. And many of the other people are like, I'm not getting it. How, that's on the horizon. can you help my aunt write a letter to maybe head this off at the pass before this starts going and the
post
put?
Yes. Okay.
Well,
absolutely.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do? Will you do that for her, and then we can we can talk about it on the show, and
love
then we'll.
To.
Okay. Let's do this.
Okay.
I got. Well, I'll talk to you during the break about it a little more. Let's do this. Let's get my aunt involved with you doing this, and let's before this even gets going, let's stop this before the train even leaves the station.
Sure.
I think this
good idea.
This would be fantastic.
Right.
I think vaccines, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think vaccines are the, you know, the, it's kind of the, what's the word? It's the knife hanging over everybody's head is forced vaccinations.
Right. That's coming. But you're right. I mean, there are two things to do, but we can talk about that, but that's coming and we're going to have to deal with that. There is a way around it. I don't care what the laws are, but there is a way around it.
Okay, well, let's deal with this. So my aunt, I think she would be more than happy. I'm thrilled that you want to get involved. Other things where people, if every store you went into gave you a problem, if they were getting letters by the hundreds and thousands by people, I mean, this would really make a big difference. I think this would stop this really quick. What is your impression on how, are we doing a good job at stopping this, or are we kind of just spitting in the wind so far?
Well, we need more people to get involved. We need more people to realize that this whole thing's a scam to steal FEMA money. Okay. I just reported my city and a couple other counties in my state for getting $250 million in FEMA money under the CARES Act. Now, this is known as disaster fraud. There is no disaster. There's no public health emergency. There's no pandemic. And they're getting all this free money and they're sitting on it. So they're bailing themselves out.
There's the music. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where you'd want to be besides listening to John Singleton right now. AceofCoins.com is his website. And much more on the other side. You're listening to the Power Hour. Thank you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Everyone should be pro-life. I mean, shouldn't they? I would think. Aren't we pro-life? That's what we want. We want life, happiness, what have you. ThePowerMall.com, that's the website. All the great products. We talked a lot about them last hour. I don't want to spend a lot of time now because John Singleton's time is precious. It's precious for us to have. AceOfCoins.com is his website. A variety of subjects. ThePowerMall.com, you can check that out. 877-817-9829. Getting back to John. Project Lockstep, or I can't remember what it's called, but it's Lockstep was a document. It's a Rockefeller-funded foundation white paper basically wargaming or describing everything that's happened with this pandemic about 10 years ago. What do you know about that? What is this? How does that fit into all this?
All right, I'm going to give you the whole picture here because Lockstep is a great indicator. But what we're witnessing is a worldwide epidemiological experiment in which Johns Hopkins University is collecting all the data. Rockefellers are behind it. The Gates Foundation, all those guys are behind it. Lockstep was a 2010 document explaining what they had planned to do this year. What you're seeing right now when you go out in the stores and stuff, people wearing masks, that was described in that Lockstep scenario narrative. Okay. Now Google that. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's a PDF document, Lockstep scenario narrative. It is part of a larger PDF booklet, but on page 18 is where you're going to start reading that information we're talking about here. Now go back a little bit and search also on the internet for this term I'm going to give you. Search on COVID-19. Tabletop exercise simulation. Search on that, and like the top three you're going to find, you're going to look at the URL that it's on the World Health Organization's website. It's a long URL, so make sure you're going to click on the WHO link, and you're going to be taken to a page with all the slideshow presentations on COVID-19, the simulation. This is a simulation. It's a theatrical production with live action role playing. It is not real. Okay, now go back to last year, beginning October 18th, I believe it was, they started this event called Event 201. It was the same thing, except that was a rehearsal that did not go live. COVID-19 went live, meaning the governors declared states of emergency and took public funds. Event 201 was the one they rehearsed before this one. The one before that was 2018 in May that began. That was called CLADE X, C-L-A-D-E, and the letter X, Clade X. That was another experiment to test what would happen if they did this. COVID-19 was the first time they did this to actually ruin society, okay, for real. And so we're
in the end game. Yeah. What is the end game?
the end game is, okay, this leads us into what we were talking about before, where the first part of it is there is an economic collapse happening, and they want it to be blamed on a pandemic. And it's not to be blamed on the pandemic. It's to be blamed on the bankers, like we all know. But if you throw this pandemic in there, everyone goes, well, of course it's the pandemic. All the businesses had to shut down. Actually, they didn't have to shut down. They were forced to under threats, and that makes it look like it was because that happened. So it's to cover up the economic collapse that's happening. And why is there an economic collapse? They have to collapse the system or allow it to collapse. They created this situation so we can move the economy into a virtual currency, which we are learning about, which is the cryptographic currency. The cryptographic currency was started about 10 or 12 years ago by the bankers to bail themselves out. So this is all part of the plan.
Bail themselves out in what way?
There is no currency on earth that would absorb the debt in the U.S. dollar system. And the U.S. dollar system is the largest economic system on earth. And that there is no, like we could absorb Britain's system way back when the dollar took over. We absorbed Spain's system when the British system took over. There is no system large enough to absorb the dollar. There is no asset class. There's nothing to absorb all that debt that's been created. It's quintillions of dollars. Okay. Quintillions. So they have to create something new, and look what we have. We have a myriad of cryptographic or virtual currencies based on an open ledger that's open source that can be secured. It's encrypted in some cases, can be private or not, and that can be automated to interact with devices that are appliances, electronic devices, interact with people that are wearing electronic devices like smartwatches. And this money system that they want to bring in is going to allow this government system, whatever you want to call it, to continue surviving and taxing people in a seamless way and tracking people in a seamless way.
All right. You're saying exactly what some Catherine Austin Fitz, Dana Lesson, to me, you're saying exactly the same thing that they said. You're just saying it a different way. I mean, it's like another angle of this, another facet of it.
Right.
So what's your opinion of cryptocurrencies? I mean, is this the mark of the beast? Is this the worst thing ever? Or is this a great thing?
It can be the mark of the beast. I think it is the mark of the beast. I think mask wearing is the mark of the beast. I think vaccinations are the mark of the beast. But I think it's like fire. And I use this analogy frequently. It's just like someone in a village who discovers fire for the first time, and he goes back to the village and says, "Hey guys, I found fire. Gosh, we could probably cook our food and we can burn some stuff and stay warm.
Our life would be so much better. Yeah, this is going to improve our life dramatically."
Right. And then another guy in the village says, "Hey, guess what? We could take this fire and take over the village next to us."
Yeah.
Right. So we can kill people with it, or we can enhance our lives with this new technology. And I see cryptos is that way. I see people like myself using cryptographic currency in a way that's complete anonymity for my property rights. We have a right to have privacy. It's a property right, and I want to use cryptographic currency to do that. And if you're watching the news, you're seeing the government's trying to create laws banning cryptography. So we're going to, you know, this is going on. It can go one of both ways, depending on how you use it.
What is your feeling? I always try to, these discussions, interject the Bill of Rights. You know, the foundation of our country guarantees certain protection, that we're sovereigns without subjects. That's the first Supreme Court justice in America. That's not me saying that. This, John Jay said that. We are sovereigns without subjects. We won our freedom, and we applied natural law, the Declaration of Independence, natural truths, self-evident truths. Where does this play in all this? Because to me, this is where the battle line is. Somebody's trying to take all these away, and then we hopefully want to sustain those. That's my opinion. Your mm-hmm. thoughts?
Well, we had these rights a long time ago. We had these rights before people started putting words on paper. The Constitution simply restrains those who have the ability to take away or infringe on those rights. So we have to understand that. We have property rights that you can never even list. I mean, you have the right to decide what to wear in the morning. That's a property right. That's not listed somewhere, but you still have that right. So yeah, I mean, it's useful that we have that sort of benchmark that we can point to. But the fact is, if you don't understand what rights you have, if you don't understand that you have a right to informed consent before taking any medical intervention, well, then you're going to put a mask on and walk in a grocery store because you think the governor can tell you what to do because you don't understand what rights you have. Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, and then once everybody does it, it becomes almost de facto. Well, I guess it does because everybody's
doing
it. So one of the most important things right now to me the most important word in our vocabulary might be just no. N-O, absolutely. Two letters, no. That's the most important word.
Right. Do not comply because you're hurting the next guy who wants his property rights, who can save his family, who can protect his family. But when everyone's going along with this demonic ritual.
Charade.
Ooh, I charade. Like that better. Or, yeah, I like the that charade. Better. They're telling the people who want us to go along with it, they're telling them, well, look, most of the people are going along with it. The other people, we could just say that they're just violent, crazy people and we'll take care of them later. But heck, we pretty much can do whatever we want now. We don't even have to go through the legislative process anymore. All we have to do is post a Twitter message from the Department of Health and poof, everyone's going to stand in line. That's what's going on right now. It's very dangerous.
So would it be too far to say wearing a mask is undercutting our country? It's endangering the Bill of Rights. Wearing a mask endangers our nation.
It's endangering your, yeah, very existence. It's endangering your life. I know it sounds dramatic, but this is going to lead to other more ugly things. The mask wearing.
Okay, let's talk about Australia because you know, this is stuff that you hear about in China. You think, oh, this must be China. No, it's Australia. A first world country. They were started as a penal colony like much of the United States was, actually, the same kind of thing. So we have some kind of kinships here. Australia, we're seeing pregnant women putting Facebook posts not approving of the restrictions. And when I say restrictions, you think America's under restrictions. You're in your home like about 23 hours a day in Australia. You come out. They want to know what you're doing. You go to the store too many times. They will fine you and possibly arrest you. Right. So this mother protests, and next thing you know, she's arrested. They just had a raid with 80 other people who were making Facebook posts, arresting them. I mean, what am I supposed to think here? Am I supposed to get ready? Am I supposed to gear up? Is this coming here? What?
Well, this is a sociological test, an examination to see what people will do. And you can't do it to the whole world at once. You know people are going to object. So you have to pick a place. So fortunately, they didn't pick Florida where I live. I'm thankful for that.
Why not? They picked
Australia.
I think in America, they're not picking America because we got guns. That's because somebody.
That's part of it.
They're going to pick the wrong person, and they're going to pull the wrong mother, pregnant mother out of there, and their husband or their uncle or their cousin or their grandpa is just going to shoot them all.
And that's going to work in their plans. I mean, these guys have already – they're very evil. These guys have expected people to do this. They just want to see what's – like they want to collect the data on who's going to do what. So they picked Australia, and then you got New York, you know, with different things. You got Sweden as the control group. There's always a control group.
Well, Sweden has no masks.
Sweden is a control group.
Wow.
It's an epidemiological experiment.
Wow, John.
Yes.
Whoa. Something just clicked in my head when you said that. Wow.
That answers a lot, doesn't it? Look around.
Oh, my God.
Remember I said Johns Hopkins is collecting the data. It's coming through the news. Yeah, they've been doing this for like 30 or 40 years, probably longer.
My mind just got blown when you said that. This whole thing clicked in a totally different direction.
You know what I would love to do, but it wouldn't work because they don't know enough to understand what I would say. But if I'm confronted by anybody, by the cops or anybody about not wearing a mask, I would say, it's okay, I'm in the control group. but they wouldn't get it, so.
Yeah. Wow, ladies and gentlemen. Your level of alarm, 10 being, you know, this is the, we're standing at the Revolutionary War again, and 1 being, you know, everything's peace and hunky dory. What level of concern do you have right now?
It's game on, pick a fight and intend to win the fight. Pick it right now. Cause if you don't, you're going to get run over. It's game on now. You got to do something. Don't wait. Cause this is the mark of the beast. They are going to come next with some, nanotechnology they want to put inside your body and do weird stuff and maybe make you not human. So then genocide doesn't matter anymore. Possibly.
What you just said, you know, a lot of very, again, we get the best guests on the show and people like yourself, you fit right in with them. I'm very glad that you're here. You're coming from a little different angle and actually you're filling in cracks where the other people we've had. Very astute people say exactly that about the transhumanism, about the DNA manipulation. And when I've just barely been able to wrap my mind around this and come to this and I'm almost begging, pleading. I talked about Sheriff Mack. He's got a meeting getting some of these sheriffs are standing up in these counties and they're forming bulwarks against some of the stuff. This situation is so much more desperate to me than people, the average person is realizing. I mean, am I crazy or is that true?
Maybe we're both crazy because I agree with you. And if you don't believe anything we're saying, go look at all the movies for the last 20 years about these scenarios, like end of the world, apocalyptic type things, even the Terminator. Look at those movies and ask yourself,
Skynet,
all that. Ask yourself, what if it's not science fiction? What if we're being told this is the way it's going to be? But, you know, like Elysium, right? Remember that movie, Elysium?
Is that with Tom Cruise?
No, with Matt Damon and Jodie Foster
Okay.
The orbiting special society of smart the people that were special, and then the rest of the people So there's been 50 of those movies to come into our culture, into our thinking, and it's like the money interests are telling us this is where we're taking society, and then there will be that species, let's call it, of people that will become something beyond human beings because they will lord over you. They will be superior to you.
See, this is where I have such a problem with the Christian church because they have not keyed in onto this.
Right.
If you're Christian and you believe the Bible, look, the Bible tells us that we are of fallen nature. We have fallen. The transhumanist, the evolutionist tell us we start at the bottom and we're evolving up. So their argument is we're evolving up and the next level of evolution is transhumanism. You're going to evolve, ascend to this light. It's a satanic Luciferian doctrine. Our God, the Bible, tells us, no, we fall into our natures. We have to rise back up. It has nothing to do with transhumanism. We have to choose the divinity within us to rise up. The evolutionist, the bioethicist, Ray Kurzweil's of the world, Bill Gates's of the world, they think, no, you don't need to rise up the divinity within you. You need to evolve your divinity and we'll place something in you to get there. I mean, that's really a night and day. This is what we're facing, John. I mean, am I being too crazy here or what?
No, that's what's going on. And you really need to use your own discernment. You need to ask for discernment. You need to look at Revelations 13. That is exactly what's happening right now. Make no mistake.
The greatness of our country, the United States, the most unique political document ever written was that it's the only country in the world, still the only country of any size in the world that acknowledges the divinity and the endowment of God, of our creator.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other country in the world. This is the law. This is the accepted law in this country. And so this is the battle and this is ground zero. I feel this is ground zero. We're either going to win or die. It's going to happen right here in the United States, and they're going to throw everything at us because they have to kill that sentiment. They have to show the world that the Declaration of Independence is a lie and a false and cannot work, and they have to strike. That's my thoughts. Your thoughts on this?
I would agree, and I also think that's why our society is being, and I'm using these terms loosely, flooded with foreign people. As much as I love it, but these people come from other cultures that are more subservient to being ruled over. They don't have our, freedom thinking.
Thomas Jefferson doesn't mean anything to them.
No, right. They don't have that connection. So to bring more people in allows it to be watered down. So then you only got people like you and me and some, people, gun carrying people and,
all right, let's talk about the guns. Okay. Yeah. We don't have a lot of time. Just quickly. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go over quick. This is so good to talk to you, John. The guns. I think that's the issue that's stopping a lot. I think obviously the people who are planning this, that has to be in their calculations. Where do the guns fit in all this?
Guns are a big factor. I think we have, I believe it's over 700 million guns.
Yeah, twice as many than the people. Yeah.
Right. And that you're right. I believe that's been a huge factor since World War II, even before World War II, in consideration of other nations. So even if the people that have the guns don't understand the issues, they have guns, So they have to be somehow persuaded a different way.
Are we seeing a race? Because people are waking up really fast. That's what I believe, that there is a small segment. And we don't need a majority of people. We need about 10% of people to figure this out. And we're getting close to that 10% of people figuring this out. And they got guns. I mean, there's a problem for the New World Order here, in my estimation.
I've heard them themselves say that they have a short window of opportunity in which to impose this worldwide government. They already have the worldwide government. They just really don't have our overt participation yet. They don't have our submission yet. And so, yeah, we do have a short window and it is a race. And yeah, people are waking up, but I guess part of waking up is then figuring out what to do. So people are awoken and now what? What do they do? They don't understand what rights they have. They don't understand how to solve a problem. They don't understand how to have a conversation, you know, with somebody. They don't have a network of people. We don't talk to our neighbors anymore. I mean, I have to admit, I don't really much anyways. I mean, I wish I did,
Quick comment about, I'm so sick of these damn schools. I can't even see straight. I mean, we lead our children to the slams, to the slaughter, to these damn schools. What do we expect we're going to get out of them? I don't know if you have a comment about that.
No, I homeschool my children for that reason. I show people how to homeschool. I'm going to do an interview next week with Rogue Money. We're going to talk about homeschooling as a business so parents can get into it. Definitely.
And let's talk about the airlines. When they made the restriction, I got on the airline and I had a letter from a doctor, medical exemption for me and my family. They gave me dirty looks. They gave me a bad time, but they let me on. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying you can't even get on the plane. Okay.
Right.
How do we handle this?
Okay. The doctors are being threatened to give out these letters, to not give out these letters. So they will not give you a medical exemption, but you don't need a doctor's medical exemption. You need to state to someone that you have a condition that precludes you from whatever, wearing a mask. Okay.
Let me interject. Right. We've seen some airlines say, we don't care. You're not getting on. I don't care.
I understand that. And that is the case right now. I'm just telling you the way to handle it. You're not going to get that letter from your doctor anymore. Unless he's just going to ready to retire and he doesn't care anymore. Right. But what I'm showing people is, and I have a whole procedure on how to do this. They will not let you on there without a mask. So don't think you're going to be able to talk your way on there. This is going to require legal action. And to start it, if you have a situation like that or you've experienced that in the last few months, what you need to do is contact the airline. And you want to talk to the complaint resolution officer, the CRO. You can do that at the gate. The airlines are required by law to tell you about that. They should just tell you about that even if you don't ask them, okay? The CRO is to take your complaint, but you have to articulate the issue. The issue is that you are not able to follow their medical recommendation or medical requirement because you have an existing medical condition. You are not required to disclose what that is, nor are you required to identify your physician. Because if you identify your physician, that may disclose your medical condition. Like if you're in, you know, oncology or something like that, right?
Right.
So you just have to make that statement and they have to take your word for it and they cannot examine you, et cetera. They cannot make you give up your temperature, vital statistics, sign a document. You're not required to sign a waiver. And I'm telling you this because I read the case law on it. I'm not telling you because I read some news articles. So you do a complaint to the CRO. They take the complaint. If it's adverse to what you're asking for, that CRO has the total authority to bind the airline right then. What that means is whatever the CRO says, everybody in the airline has to do it as if that CRO employee is the CEO of the company, except the pilot when it concerns a safety issue. So the pilot's the only one that can overcome what the CRO has decided in that matter when it concerns a safety issue, okay? Now, if the airline is adverse, the CRO says, no, you still can't go on the plane. Now, remember, this is going to take – it's not going to take 5 minutes, possibly. You're going to have to move this beyond the airline itself, and you would escalate that complaint, and they're supposed to give you an instruction. If they say you can't get on the plane still, we're going to ignore you, deny you, whatever, they have to give you written explanation, and they have to tell you – what appeal rights you have. And I'll tell you very simply, you can take the same thing you said to the CRO on a piece of paper and you can give that to the Department of Transportation, the Secretary of Transportation. The Department of Transportation oversees the airlines. And that is a violation. I will tell you, that is an ADA violation. It's not a HIPAA violation. It's ADA. Okay. It's a right.
Why haven't there been a million ADA lawsuits if they've pushed this?
I think it just takes time. I think it takes time I'm going to tell you why. You can't sue the airline. You can do the CRO complaint. You can appeal to the DOT. If the DOT is not favorable, if it doesn't comply with the law, if you feel like it's still violating the law, you can sue the Department of Transportation for an injunction in the U.S. District Court of Appeals. Now, I know that sounds crazy and intimidating to people, but I'm just saying that's what the process is. You cannot sue the airline for not letting you on without a mask. They know that. That's why they're I think that's why they're doing it, because they know you're not going to sue them. They know that you have to go through that administrative process, and most people don't know what that is. And
are you involved with any of these? Are you doing any of these?
Not yet, but I've written the whole process, and I don't have any active cases right now. But, you know, if somebody asks me, I'll do the case. I'll show them how to do it, and I even know how to do the appeals.
So we got 1 minute. Vaccines, okay? We're gonna get my aunt involved in her situation, because I think she's the front line of all this. They're not gonna go door to door and try to vaccinate people. They're gonna say, okay, medical workers, you can't work without a vaccine. That's what I think. Do you have a similar thought or different thought?
Thankfully, Robert Kennedy just won a case against the U.S. that says no vaccine has ever cured or prevented a disease. So we got that on court now. Okay. Court records, medical records, no vaccine has ever helped anybody. Now, your best friend is the informed consent laws, federal and your state, informed consent, and also to get an indemnification agreement or provisions when someone's trying to force you to take a medical intervention, including a vaccine. And we can go into more detail about that. But you can require someone to indemnify you against any injury you may incur, because the manufacturer is not liable for your injury of taking the vaccine. So informed consent.
There's the music. This hour has went way too quick. Have you had a good time?
Oh, I enjoyed it, yes. We talked a lot.
Well, I've just loved it. I've loved having you on. I'm going to get my aunt involved. I'm going to talk to you off air. We're going to talk about this a lot on the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is extremely important. Support Sheriff Mack. Get these sheriffs involved. Law and order. God bless you. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. John, stay right there.
Okay.
Is on the earth below, who is bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, He is Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life, probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-